Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements. Edible Arrangements franchisees join a brand with 16 years of growth, 1,200 stores, and millions of visitors to ediblearrangements.com. You can discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchisee at edible.com or call 1-888-727-4258.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a nomadic entrepreneur, best-selling author, travel blogger, and an advisor. He has been traveling since 2006 and has created a site which offers tested travel tips and advises visitors on how to see more of the world for less. He's helped 16 million people realize their travel dreams and has helped those dreams become a reality. His books include The Ultimate Guide for Travel Hacking, which is a step-by-step guide on getting free travel in 6 months, and How to Travel the World on $50 a Day, which was called the Bible for Budget Travelers by BBC Travel. Now, let's hack Matt Kepnes. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Schoolhouse. Schoolhouse is a New York-based and globally inspired brand design agency. When subjective experiences challenge you as an individual, dare you to take creative risks, and ask individuals to define the collective versus the collective defining the individual, life and experience serve as your schoolhouse. This is why Schoolhouse is about finding your brand truth and not just your brand story. Authenticity, collaboration, and expression keep Schoolhouse sharp, excited, and honest about the work they do. They know the value of client relationships based on quality and trust. They are Schoolhouse, the branding brand. Learn more at weareschoolhouse.com. And you can also follow them through Instagram. To find out more and sign up for the Schoolhouse Weekly, go to weareschoolhouse.com today. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another special guest, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Absolutely my pleasure, Matt. So let's jump straight into this. Matt, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The biggest contributor to my successes so far? I would say that one thing I do it well, at least in my field. I mean, that's a relative term, well. I feel marketers can do it better than I can, but I would say that I relentlessly promote. I think that is something that has separated me out from a lot of the other travel bloggers and writers. I go into other niches and just talk about travel because everybody loves to travel, right? So whether it's finance or fashion or, you know, senior trips or whatever, like there's always people who want to save money and travel more. So I go be the guy for that sort of audience. And so when you have the bigger bloggers in that field talking about travel, they reference me.
Nice. So did you from the beginning of Nomadic Matt, did you actively think about this and that you would spread out to other niches in this way and make sure that when those other big bloggers talked about travel, that would be you that was mentioned?
Well, it was all very haphazard how I started out. But the more I learned about business and the more I networked with people and I saw how other people operated, the more I sort of came up with a plan, which was to be like the travel guy for everybody else.
Nice. The more you learned about business, you got an MBA, did you not?
Yeah, those things don't teach you anything.
They just teach you that you want to go travel the world.
Yeah, those things are useless.
Yeah.
I'll give you 20 books so you can have an MBA.
Much cheaper and much quicker, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Matt. So there seems to be this time, and I think this might have been around 2006 for you, but let's see. There's a time sort of in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge, big difference in the world, or as seems to mostly be the case, they simply can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which side of the fence you sit and when this was that it happened for you?
Neither. I didn't have a big epiphany. I just fell into this. I went traveling around the world, came back home, realized I still really just wanted to travel. And so I thought being a travel writer would be a cool job to have because you get to travel. And so I created the blog as a way to maybe try to get freelance writing stuff. But there was never like a master plan, like, oh my God, like I want to, you know, I want to create my own thing, or I'm totally unemployable. Like I can never work at a cubicle again. The only thing I was thinking about at the time was I want to go back to Europe. I got to find a way to afford that.
Fair enough.
So, and then like one thing led to another, which led to another. And suddenly I'm blogging more and more. I'm writing some eBooks, bringing more and more. And one day I just woke up. I was like, oh, I got a business. Now, I mean, yeah, I can never work for anybody else. I'm completely unemployable. I like to come and go as I please. But, you know, I mean, if I, you know, Google offered me a job at Google Travel, I would probably take it, you know?
Yeah, I get that. So I get that it doesn't just happen overnight and it wasn't like an epiphany, but you say you wanted to just go back to Europe. You wanted to get money. You started blogging and then you started blogging more and more with no real master plan at all. And then you said blogging more and more. And then I had a couple of eBooks. Where, like, how long of a span is this from like you coming back from Europe, starting to blog, and then all of a sudden realizing you have a business?
Years.
Yeah.
I started blogging in 2008, just like as like a thing, but it wasn't maybe till like a year and a half I realized like there was something here. And it wasn't probably until, yeah, like 2010, end of 2010, I really sat down and was like, okay, like this is a business, right? This is like, I'm going to devote myself full time into this. You know, a lot of people who run websites who, you know, they come in with a set goal, they have a plan. But when you're traveling around the world all the time, like I could go work on my website or I could go party with hot Swedish girls on a beach in Thailand, right?
It's not a good choice.
Right. Of course, I sat on my website. No. But, you know, a friend of mine, you might have heard of him, Derek Halpern, Social Yes. Triggers.
Yes.
Right, right. So, you know, I was trying to meet up with him, and he's like, well, trying to organize a schedule. I'm like, I'm going away for like 3 months, 4 months. You know, he's like, well, how do you ever get work done? I was like, slowly or not at all. And so, you know, it all kind of grew. And grew, but it happened really slowly because it was always on the back burner to what I really wanted to do, which was travel.
And has this changed at all with your work? Do you get more work done now than you did in 2008, 2009, 2010?
I get more work done now because my travel is different. I travel a lot slower than I used to because I live like having a routine. 2-3 months on the road, and I want to go back home for a little bit and watch Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's move to work then. I want to see how Matt works now. You mentioned a routine. So let's talk, like, today's a work day for you in some manner. And what do you do for, say, the first 30 minutes or hour of today to kind of set you up to do the things you need to do in your business?
First thing I do, well, I have breakfast, most important meal of the day. But I would say that I tend to like to write in the beginning because then all the emails are going to start flooding in. So I want to try to get to as much work as I can before I start, you know, putting out the fire, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so That's sort of like the first thing I do, because I already have a plan for the day, because the last thing I do every day is write down what I want to do tomorrow. So I create one, I create every Sunday, I create like a weekly plan. So I break out like Monday, I'm going to do this. Tuesday, I'm going to do that. Wednesday, I'm going to do that. And then based on how the day goes, at the end of every day, I modify that weekly plan to better fit, you know, the changing situation, you know, because Tuesday is going to be different than Sunday.
Of course.
Right. But so that kind of keeps me focused and in check. So when I wake up on Wednesday morning, I know exactly what I'm going to do today. You know, I know what work I'm going to start off with and what work I'm going to finish with. I think it's also important that people have like, not just like a list, like here are five things I'm going to do today. At 9 o'clock, I'm going to do this. At 11 o'clock, I'm going to do that. And that can really help you get it all together and be sort of organized and, you know, efficient. And because I think, you know, the internet will take as much as you give her. So it's easy to get sucked into Facebook or just be like, well, you know, I work from home, so I can spend all day doing this. Well, you don't. Well, it's better to like have a set time, because then you'll have, if you don't, you'll have no free time. You'll just always be working.
Yeah. How much like work does it take you in a week, or if you need to average it out over, say, a month to run your business at this point?
Oh.
And to grow it to where you want to go?
I mean, I don't keep track. I have no idea.
Lots? Or are you still pretty like...
I mean, I tend to take weekends off. Okay. So
nice.
I do the 9 to 5.
Okay. That's cool. Fair enough. All right. So every expert nowadays, Matt, tells us the 80-20 rule, right? Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest of it. Could you tell me something in your business that you're absolutely not good at?
Absolutely not good at? Oh, a lot of things. Let's see. Design. Let's see. Design. Tech stuff. Fixing bugs like I'm seeing right now. There we go. Yeah, I write very well, and I'm pretty good at a lot of the copy stuff, but I'm not super good at like the analytics. Like I know the data, but like finding the data, I usually outsource that.
So like design, tech, bug fixes, analytics. How long did it take you to realize that you were just like totally wasting your time trying to figure out like doing your own design or messing around with WordPress, when it was like kind of like, oh, this is crazy. I should be writing for other people's sites and promoting in other places rather than figuring out how to get this plugin to work and then outsource it?
Pretty quickly, but here's the thing. I run a budget travel website for a reason. I'm super fucking cheap. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, we just did. We're good.
All right. I'm super cheap, yep. Right? So I knew like this was not the most efficient use of my time, but I never wanted to pay anybody to do it. But eventually I realized that if the website wasn't going to grow, I can't spend 3 hours, you know, fixing the bug on a homepage, you know, to get the pixelation of this image exactly in the location I want, kind of, you know. So I just hired my friend to do tech stuff. And then, you know, I have an assistant who does like scheduling blog posts, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to schedule, you got to put the photos up, you know, you got to make sure everything's with the headers and all that stuff. I can do it, but it's an efficient use of my time. Not exactly. I could spend the hour and a half running a whole new blog post. So I began to outsource begrudgingly, because I hate spending money, when I realized like I would never grow the website how I wanted it if I just didn't follow the old axiom, you gotta spend money to make money.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to say, right? Like gotta spend money to make money, but it's not easy to just spend money. When did you get an assistant? Like how long into this were you?
I've had assistants on and off for maybe half years, part-time in some capacity, but I have a full-time assistant. She's been with me for about 16 months now.
Nice. Was it hard to find the right assistant? I think it's super hard.
Yeah, that's why I went to so many before. She's probably my fourth assistant. And I usually had them all in a part-time capacity, mm-hmm. but I had her in a part-time capacity too, but she was really good. And so I had to give her the full-time job.
Wow.
She's a little go-getter.
Yeah. So do you think you did anything right with this one, or were the other ones?
Yeah, I just hired her. That was what I did too.
Nice.
That's what I did right. I mean, there's still a learning curve. You know, I mean, even after a year, there's still, I'm very picky.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to be like, okay. You know, and what makes it a little difficult is we work and travel. So, you know, I haven't seen my assistant since January because I've been on the road and she's in Africa right now. Mm-hmm. So I actually won't see her for another 2 weeks. So, you know, when you're not there together for 5 months, it's really hard to work out a lot of the little things because, you know, you're not there. You can't just like be like, hey, let's talk about this. It's a lot more difficult when it's virtual.
Yeah, no, it is. It's hard to get that connection sometimes. So that's cool. All right, Matt, as human beings, and I guess as entrepreneurs, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong and making mistakes. Could you tell me how to be wrong and not get like completely sideswiped by it?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
How do you make a decision in your business that you know to be right and kind of go all into it, point you, your assistant, and anything else in your business in that direction to have it come back and be completely a wrong move? And then still keep your confidence and continue on without it sort of knocking you off your game.
You know, life is a series of failures with a couple of few successes. So you're always going to be wrong at some point. You know, I mean, heck, you know, even Apple had like bad products, you know, missed launches and, you know, things go wrong. You can never be right 100% of the time. If you're that good at business, like you'd be gajillionaire, if that's even a word. It's not, but.
Fair enough. All right, let's move to projects, can we? So project can be anything. You have a whole bunch of books for sale, and I'm not even sure what other products you might have been part of. But right now in your business, do you have like sort of a process of discovering or realizing what it is the next project or product you want to create in your business?
I email my readership twice a year to get like a survey. I do a survey. And so based on their answers, I kind of see what the needs are and the fit, you know, so I think, oh, well, people kind of like this or people kind of like that. So let's go with that. So I try to get, that's really it.
Just email them and ask.
Yeah, I think, you know, your readership knows what they want. I mean, I could guess all day long, like, and go write a book. Oh, you guys, like, this is great. And then no one can buy it. Why? Because it's not really what they're looking for. And I think if you go and survey, you can see like their questions and concerns, like, and that can kind of be where you're going to next. Like, for example, like a lot of people were asking me for destination guides. So I wrote destination guides. A lot of people wanted a forum. And so I actually just made a forum and people really loved it. And they gave me all this advice on how to make it bigger. So, you know, your readership knows what they want.
They do, yeah. And I noticed your travel guides, and the travel guides to me made sense. It was just interesting that you kind of went from like, seemed like books about like how to like blog, then to like learning to teach English overseas, then to travel hacking. And it was kind of like, did your readership change or did your sort of analysis of your readership change sort of as your business progressed?
Well, in the beginning I was, you know, I knew lots of bloggers and I was an English teacher. So they seemed like two good books to write. But, you know, now I have a consumer travel website. So I write things for the consumer traveler. And that's not a blogging book. Yeah, a lot of bloggers read my site. So, yeah, I still have that there. But it's not a main focus of the website.
Right.
The main focus is the travel stuff because that's what people come to me the most for now. The English teachers and everybody else is such a small subset that I'm not going to write for them. I'm going to write for your average everyday consumer.
Nice. But it makes sense, I guess, to keep it up there because some people are there. I'm sure bloggers must like come and check you out all the time because you obviously know what you're doing.
Right.
Whether travel blogging or any other sort of niche blog.
Yeah.
All right, Matt.
You know, I think it's important that you write for what your audience is and to know your readership and be consistent with that. You know, your readers know what they want. right? In the sense that they don't know what they want, but they know what their like fears and concerns are. So have a create a product that addresses that concern. Very few of us are going to like create like an Apple product, like, oh my God, my phone and my music, I didn't know I was missing this, right?
True.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, most blogs are informational based sites. They're not like, you're not creating a hard product in someone's hands. You're teaching them, you're helping them in some way better their lives. So figure out what they need better and get in there.
Excellent. All right, Matt, we're going to end off on something I call the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs and us trying to build our businesses, we're constantly looking forward, like either with goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years. As we even approach those goals, we seem to, before we even get there, sometimes set bigger, loftier ones. And we often fail to kind of stop and turn around and look back at what it is we've come through, what we've accomplished, and kind of just appreciate what it is we've done. So could you, Matt, right now, just stop and turn around, look at where you've come from say 2009, I guess, when you started, or 2008, and tell me how you feel about what it is you've accomplished till now in 2015.
I feel pretty great about it. You know, I mean, I have a great website. I meet people all the time who are like, you help me travel better. Heck, you know, I just have a New York Times bestselling book. So pretty excited with how life has turned out. I mean, I think, you know, it's a lot of hard work to get there, but I'm pretty happy with it.
That's awesome.
I guess so, yeah, that's all I got to say about that, I guess. I mean, life is awesome.
That's a good answer. I like it. All right, Matt, we got to talk about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the audience where they can go find out about you and your business?
Yeah, if you're looking to travel anywhere on a budget, you can visit me at nomadicmatt.com. And you can find me on any social media site, that URL /nomadicmatt. And I teach people how to travel cheaper, better, and longer. So hopefully I can teach you how to do the same.
Cheaper, better, and longer. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop by today. And please just, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, because you're right. It is pretty awesome so far.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have no deeper epiphany than that.
That's cool. Okay, thank you so much, Matt. Take care.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
See ya.
Thank you so much, Matt. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that conversation, and I've enjoyed your writing and your blog for a long time, so I'm really happy that we finally got to talk. So you're out there listening, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did, and I hope that you are intrigued in your brains working about traveling for $50 a day. All these things that Matt talks about are awesome. So you should really check out his work and just see what he's up to, because he's done some really cool things and he's built a really cool business around, as he says, just being cheap and loving to travel, which is pretty awesome. So going through the conversation, Matt said some really cool things, some really interesting things. And I love the business as a blog. You know this from me because I've talked about this. I love that basically anybody now that wants to put in the hard work can find a topic that you're into and you can just start writing about it and create a business around it. That to me is mind-blowing. It's so awesome. Couldn't do this like 10 years ago, hardly. 15 years ago, of course not. 5 years ago, that's when it kind of was getting going, and it's awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. So it always excites me getting to talk to somebody like Matt. But then as I went back through the conversation, through all the things he said, there was that one thing that Matt said. You know, the one that really stood out. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I can do it, but it's an efficient use of my time. Not exactly. I could spend the hour and a half writing a whole new blog post. So I began to outsource begrudgingly, because I hate spending money, when I realized like I would never grow the website how I wanted it if I just didn't follow the old axiom, you gotta spend money to make money.
And that's the hack. Yes, yes, yes. Matt, I love that you admit you started to outsource tasks and jobs within your business begrudgingly because of the cost and how you could do it, but is it the most efficient use of your time? No, it's not. It absolutely isn't. And not only that, it's we can start to really despise our businesses if we do things constantly that we don't like to do. And Matt, like, can't outsource his writing. It's him. That's him. And that's Chris Ducker, who was yesterday's episode, which if you haven't listened to Chris Ducker's, you should go back because Chris is a smart, smart guy. And he's actually, if it wasn't for Chris, this show wouldn't exist because the people I met at his very first Tropical Think Tank conference are the ones who set me off on this whole path. But that's a whole aside. And go listen to him. It was a great conversation. But Chris even takes it a step further and says when the brand is you, that there's nobody that can copy it. And that's awesome. And so then it's so true. It's you. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you're entering a market like doing interviews of entrepreneurs like I decided to do. It's a massive market that has tons of podcasts in it and tons of content. But it didn't matter because none of them were me doing it. And it worked. Right. And so Matt, although he had to begrudgingly admit that he had to learn to outsource, it's also how he learned and figured out that this is the only way he can grow his business. He can only grow the blog by not spending an extra hour and a half setting up the publishing of and setting up the post and all that. He has to go write another post that can be then set up and also published. That's how it happens. And these are things that are hard for us to figure out in our businesses. These are always the struggles. That's why I like to ask my guests, like, who's the first person you hired? Because this is the hardest decision. Which part do we outsource first? Which parts? I outsource so much of this show at this point, like my artwork. I have an assistant who looks for guests and does my blog posts. I have somebody who writes intros for me. I have somebody, it's somebody who edits it. It all has to be done. It's a lot of work doing 3 a week. And I get the benefit of putting out and having my voice behind the show. And there's nobody else who can do that part because that's me. But then I can have help doing all of the rest. And it's essential. Otherwise, I couldn't put out 3 good episodes every single week because I would not have the time to do it. So Matt, thank you so much for that because this is something that's really, 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 truly important. And begrudgingly or not, it needs to be done at some point in our businesses. All right, that was a lot of fun. I thank you so much for stopping by and hanging out with me again today. You have no idea how much it means. If you haven't had a chance, or if you would just like to, and if you're enjoying the show, please go to iTunes, leave a rating and a review. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes would take you right there, or just you're on your phone, just you're probably on your phone, and just go to iTunes and or go to Stitcher if you're on Stitcher. And just type in Hack the Entrepreneur or John Nastor and it'll come up. It takes 2 minutes and it helps the show so, so, so very much. As you know, because you hear this during almost every podcast you ever listen to. We all are in desperate need of more ratings and reviews because the people that hold the power at iTunes and Stitcher and all that, they just, that's the way they rate us. That's the way they decide where to put us in the search engines. So it helps. So I do thank you. And there's hundreds and hundreds of you out there that have already left me amazing ratings and reviews. And I truly, truly do thank you. And I can't wait until the rest of you do too. All right. I won't take a bit of more of your time. It's been great. It's been fun. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.